We understand from Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, that Christ sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But there's a lot of contention, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about water baptism. So we've titled this one, More on Baptism. Brother E.C. Moore talks a little more about water baptism. Here's Brother Moore.
Thank you, Brother Morgan, and ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 9? I appreciate you watching every week, and I hope it's a blessing to you. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, then it's our hope that you will come to see that Jesus Christ is your need, that being the fact that He died for your sins at Calvary, God raised Him from the dead, and that salvation is free. And that is free to you by believing in Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're already saved, then it's our aim in this broadcast that you might be established in the doctrine that was presented through the Apostle Paul. Therefore, we've been talking about following Paul. And so, very recently, we've been talking about water baptism. The reason being, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, anybody that believes the Bible would have to know that God sent John the Baptist to baptize. They'd have to know that according to Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16, that Jesus Christ sent the 12 apostles to baptize. That isn't all. By comparing Acts chapter 8, you'd come to realize that the ones that were saved through the ministry of the 12 who had been sent to baptize, those that had been saved through that ministry baptized, as in the case of Stephen in Acts chapter 8. Yet Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, if Christ sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, then the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, Romans through Philemon, could not have an association with water baptism. If you rightly divide the word of truth, that is, if you divide the epistles of the Apostle Paul, Romans through Philemon, then you would never have an excuse to baptize anybody in the first place, because there is not one single solitary reference in Romans through Philemon that would recommend that you baptize anybody under any circumstance. And all that go into Romans chapter 6 to prove that will get nothing except proving that you do not understand the Scriptures. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. If there's only one baptism, there obviously is not two. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. If the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ, and if in this age there's one baptism, then why should I go and baptize people in water when I tell those people as I do that that this isn't going to gain any salvation for you, etc., on and on and on. So, why then would an individual in the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to the Apostle Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles, Paul is the apostle to you Gentiles. He's the preacher and the teacher to you Gentiles. And Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Why would you want to perform water baptism? Well, I suspect the answer to that is, as was put into a letter that I received many years ago from an evangelist who is now the leader in a school here in Pensacola. And in this letter to me, he said, Brother Moore, a man can't make a living in his own denomination unless he preaches the doctrine and traditions of that denomination. I suspect he hit the nail on the head, don't you? I suspect, as a man told me in Foley, Alabama, about 20 years ago in a Bible class, this man was a graduate of Bob Jones University. He was a pastor of a Baptist church in Mobile, Alabama. He was contending with me about baptism, and he said, why do you not baptize? My question to him was, why do you baptize people? And he gave me some argument. I settled the argument in the Scripture, came back again. Sir, why do you baptize? more argument. About the third or the fourth time of asking him that question, this man leaned back in his chair and said, I do it because of the tradition of the Baptist Church. I suspect that that's the basic reason that the majority of the preachers baptized today, I suspect that the majority of them wouldn't really know why he baptized in a scriptural sense. Now, if it were those that baptized because they said that salvation comes through baptism, then consider that. He's got the upper hand. That man that baptizes because he says that it had to do with salvation obviously has the upper hand, as in Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, Jesus Christ said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told those people who asked, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Then I suspect that the Church of Christ preacher today has the upper hand where baptism is concerned in an argument with those who perform baptism saying that it has nothing to do with your salvation. Obviously, it had to do with somebody's salvation at some point. For instance, we're coming back to Romans in just a moment. Look in 1 Peter, and look in 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's the man who was sent to baptize. Here's the man that told those people in Acts chapter 2 to repent and be baptized. Look what the man said. In 1 Peter chapter 3, references to Christ who died and so forth. And in verse 19, by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, skip the parenthesis, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, by our believing in Jesus Christ and believe and being baptized, he said, baptism doth also save us. In other words, that is in one accord with Mark 16. See if it isn't. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. He that believeth not should be damned. In other words, if the man didn't believe the gospel, there wouldn't have been any point to have baptized him anyway. Souls being saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, if that man in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if they did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then the baptism had no effect upon them. The point being, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. So Peter preached baptism. He commanded it in Acts chapter 10. But Paul did not. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize and never recommended it. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he refers to that, he said, I'm glad that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest you should say that Christ sent me to baptize in mine own name. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Sure never kept a record, did he? Does your church? Now, come on, face up to it. Does your church keep a record of the baptisms? If someone comes to your church from another church in another state someplace, does your church receive them by letter? And that letter being a letter saying that these people have been baptized, does your church do that? Paul did not keep any records. Paul said, besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Had no record of it. Didn't even remember it. It wasn't that important to it. If it would have been important for the salvation of the individual, don't you think that Paul would have said, oh yes, I performed this baptism and that baptism. These were saved and that was saved by boredom. No way did he say that. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. I don't remember whether I baptized any other or not. And he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. but to preach the gospel. If he would have said, Christ sent me to baptize and preach the gospel, it would have been a whole different story, wouldn't it? Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Therefore, the gospel of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 cannot be the gospel of Mark chapter 16. No matter. And people can grind their teeth and they can get fighting mad and whatever. But that ain't going to change anything. This old book is going to stand forever, and every one of us that are listening this morning are going to face the doctrine that is written down in this book. Now, Paul was not sent to baptize. Notice in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What should we say then? Answer. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, they never did anything to gain righteousness. They followed not after righteousness. They weren't seeking righteousness. They didn't try to get righteous. The Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, in other words, they kept the law. Why, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, concerning the righteousness of the law, blameless. But you know what? You have to get saved by grace through faith. Isn't that something? Think about it. Here's a man who had kept the law blamelessly and was lost and needed to be saved by grace through faith, and so God saved him by the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ preached the gospel to him according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul said, it's that which I also received. So Paul was saved then after having kept the righteousness of the law blameless. Paul was saved by grace through faith in the gospel of Christ, believing that Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again. Now, that's clear if you believe the Bible. In Romans chapter 9, verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, they stumbled at that stumbling stone, and the stumbling stone that they stumble at is the fact of believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Colossians, and look in Colossians chapter 2. Now don't get mad at me. Don't get angry at me. In Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Are you complete in Christ? Look at these people. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians 1, 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath they reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, on and on and on. These Colossians believed that Jesus Christ died for them. They believed that Jesus Christ became their sin at Calvary, that their sin was put upon him, that he was judged for them. Did you ever notice that he was beaten for you? You know, there have been many times in the past that I had the feeling that I needed to be beat. You ever hear somebody use the statement, or made it yourself, I could just kick myself? Why do you think priests beat themselves? Why do people suffer penance? Why do they go through all the horrors? Why do you torture yourself? Jesus Christ was beaten for you. Jesus Christ was tortured for you. Jesus Christ was belittled in your behalf. Jesus Christ had fun poked at him in your behalf. Jesus Christ stood naked in front of the world as they gaped at him, and he did it in your behalf. Jesus Christ was humiliated in your behalf. Jesus Christ was judged in your behalf. Jesus Christ was found guilty of your sin in your behalf. Jesus Christ was condemned in your behalf. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died in your behalf. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead in your behalf. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These Colossians are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? And if you are complete by faith in Christ, believing that He died for your sins, was buried and rose again, in the name of all that's decent, what can being put down in water do for you anyhow, other than get you entrance into a church somewhere? Even though God has already established you in the church, which is the body of Christ, He placed you in there by the Holy Spirit. You should be acceptable to everybody that believes in Christ just like you do. Then why can you not be acceptable without going into some so-called watery grave? Look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, notice in verse 7. Romans 15, verse 7 says, "Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Has God received us because of Jesus Christ? Did Jesus Christ die for you at Calvary? Did He suffer and die and pay for your sins at Calvary? Are you complete in Christ? Then pray tell, why would you want to be a member of a congregation that wouldn't receive you for Christ's sake? Why in the name of all that's decent would you want to join some assembly that would make you go through some ritual to be a part of that assembly when God had caused His Son to be humiliated, bled, and died for you that God could receive you? If God can receive you, why can't the church receive you? And why can we not receive one another? We're in a pitiful mess. You know that? The problem in this world today is not what people term a moral problem. The problem in this world is a spiritual problem. The problem are not your sins. The problem is your unbelief. You're not going to hell because of your sins. You're going to go to hell because of your unbelief. You will not believe the real truth. What is that? That Jesus Christ completely paid for your sins, wiped away your sins, and that God can't find your sins anymore because Christ paid for them. That's where your problem is. You won't believe that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why was Paul not sent to baptize? Because he was sent to preach grace. Why was Paul not sent to baptize? Because baptism couldn't affect an individual except in an adverse condition. Why, the people today that are baptized believe that it's got some spiritual effect to it. Well, that's adding something to what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. That's sinful. So along comes some smart aleck, you know, and he said, "All right, show me where so-and-so repented because they got baptized." Oh, boy. You know, folks, repentance is changing your mind, turning around. I did repent. I turned around. I was saved in 1955 in Mobile, Alabama. I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, believing that He died for my sins. The next Sunday morning, I got dressed, went to the nearest Baptist church. The preacher preached, gave the invitation. I walked the aisle and joined that Baptist church because I believe that's what I ought to do. You see, I believe that because my daddy was a deacon in a Baptist church. My whole family, my brothers and my sister, were members of a Baptist church. My granddaddy was a Baptist. My grandmother, my grandparents, we were all Baptist folks, don't you understand? So traditionally, my wife and I joined that Baptist church. Well, sometime after we had been a member of that church, and before we received in full fellowship, had been received in full fellowship, the preacher talked to me. And he said, "Have you been baptized?" And I said, "Yes." And told him when. You see, I joined the Baptist church years ago and been baptized. And so he said, "Have you been baptized since you've been saved?" And I said, "Well, no. No." He said, "You ought to follow the Lord in believers' baptism." I didn't know any different. I'd been associated through my mother and daddy with the Baptist church all my life. But I didn't know any different. I didn't know what the Bible said about it. I couldn't have quoted you one verse on baptism out of this Bible. I could have quoted you John 5:24 and John 3:16 and verses like that, because I'd memorized them from Friday night before then when I'd gotten saved. So he said, "You need to be baptized. You need to follow the Lord and believe his baptism." And I said, "Well, sure. If that's what I need to do, that's what I'm ready to do." And so I went with him down into a baptistry. He put an handkerchief over my nose, talked to the people, and then he said, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Put me down into that baptistry, and I walked out of there. That's the second time I've been baptized. But you know what that added to me? Nothing. Somebody said, "Well, didn't you feel better?" Not really. I felt wet. Gained nothing for me. Why? Beloved, I was already complete in Christ. But a man deceived me in making me believe that I wasn't complete in Christ. God said that I was complete by believing in Jesus Christ. God said that I was circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Jesus Christ at Calvary was circumcised for me. Jesus Christ in my behalf put off the body of the sins of the flesh. I believed in him as my Lord and Savior. Everything that Christ did at Calvary in my behalf, it was put to my account. I was a saved, Bible-believing child of God at that moment, and a preacher took advantage of me and made me believe that I needed something else that I didn't need at all. I was deceived. So somebody said, "Why don't you repent?" I did repent. I turned around. I don't baptize people. I sure don't baptize them to get them saved. And those that are saved don't need to be baptized. Why? They're already complete in Christ. They're already righteous. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look in verse 26. He said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Which do you esteem highest? Jesus Christ's death at Calvary for your sins in A.D. 33, or some cross that you might carry on a little chain around your neck? Which do you esteem the highest? Jesus Christ's death for you at Calvary, or your church? The traditions of your church, the association with your church. Which do you esteem the highest? Jesus Christ, who paid for your sins at Calvary, became sin for you, suffered, bled, and died for you. Or the Pope? Do you exalt him above all things? I ask you a question. Is he exalted? Do people glory in this man? Do they bow down before him? Do you exalt baptism? To you, is baptism a means of salvation? I was watching television just recently, a church program, and there was a couple that brought their little baby up in front. There were all these people, their beautiful robes on, and there's this beautiful grate. church building there. All, everything so beautiful. Beautiful organ and music and everything. Oh, so beautiful to the eye. And they brought that little baby up there and handed that little baby to that preacher. That little baby was held in that preacher's hand, knowing nothing about all this. This baby couldn't believe in Christ as its Lord and Savior. It had no need for a Savior anyhow. And here's this preacher, put his hand in this water and took this water and wiped it all on the head of that little baby. And said, in effect, by so doing, that that baby became a member of the church. No way, beloved. No way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Those that are in the body of Christ are those that believe the gospel of Christ. They trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. They believe the good news that Christ died for the sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again for their justification. That baby was in a safe condition. It is in a safe condition. It does not know sin. No flesh shall glory in the presence of this God of this Bible. Reverend is His name. Notice in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Jesus Christ was made sin for me, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ was put to my account. And I stand here before you on this television today, and I tell you that I'm righteous. I tell you that in Christ I'm equal with God Almighty. I'm just as righteous as God Almighty by faith in Christ Jesus. In this flesh, no, but in Christ's finished work at Calvary, I'm as righteous as God. God Almighty will receive me because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. God Almighty will receive me because Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and God rose, raised Him from the dead, and I believe in Him as my Lord and Savior. God will not receive me because that I've been baptized or because I walked the aisle for Jesus. None of those things. God will receive me for one reason and one reason only. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I believe He died for me. You can believe it too right now. Will you trust Him as your Savior? Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.
Okay, thank you, Brother Moore. That's Brother E.C. Moore of the Berean Bible Study Association in Pensacola, Florida.